Welcome to Why We Marathon, a podcast diving into the deep motivating factors for why people choose to run marathon races. I'm excited for today's guest, a good friend of mine from New Jersey, Paige Tatuli. Thanks for joining us today, Paige. How are you?
Hey, Alex. I'm good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Doing well. Yeah, thanks for joining me. It's been a little bit of time since I've been in Jersey and New York. I'm out here in LA now, but how's everything going out east?
You know, bipolar weather, 20 degrees one day, 50 degrees today. You made the right choice in ditching us for the West Coast.
Not too bad when it's always sunny here and I could get running every day. But thanks again for joining. I'm excited to dive in here. You know, two quick just sort of demographic questions that I ask everyone. It's always interesting to see where marathon runners come from, you know, sort of all walks of life. So can you tell our audience just how old you are and what your day job is?
Yeah, okay, so I'm 30, but I turned 30 in 2020. So I think we can agree that I'm still 29. I get a redo.
Pandemic birthdays, right?
Yeah, I'm like, I get a redo 100%. And I'm a publicist. I work at a big agency in New York City on a travel and healthcare brands.
Awesome. Cool. And what was your first marathon race?
Philadelphia Marathon, 2019.
That's
so for what year it is anymore.
Yeah. So for some of our loyal listeners, you'll know I ran 2019 as well. And it was funny because I saw Paige and all of her friends in the parks with some signs right at the end there.
I brought the crew.
Yeah, you definitely did. A lot of friends and family there. What prompted you to start running marathon races and to actually sign up for Philly? Do you remember sort of what went through your head during the registration process?
What went through my head during the registration process? I think I was like, what the fuck am I doing? Excuse my language. But, you know, just had to just press go. But what kind of prompted me to do it? I know you know this about me, but I used to work with Brooks Running, was one of my clients. And I had always kind of been like a casual runner, you know, 3 miles on the treadmill, maybe 3 miles outside, like very here and there. But like through working with them, I got to meet some like really incredible people. I don't know if you're familiar with her, but one of their runners was Gabe Grunwald. She was part of the track team. I think she was a middle distance runner, and she was diagnosed with cancer when she was 22 years old. I'm pretty sure her first, like when she got her diagnosis, it was literally the night before she was supposed to run for the first time at college. I had the opportunity to meet her with her. We did like an interview with Women's Health. They were highlighting women and like their scars and like what their story was. And like hearing Gabe talk about, like she always ran through the highs and the lows of her journey. And she, you know, she'd wear her sports bras and like proudly display like the giant scar that like was across her entire stomach. Like even when on her worst days, you would never know, she'd like win. And like sitting in that room with her, I'd never been around somebody like her before. I was so inspired. And I was just like, okay, like I gotta do this. I want to get into running, like hearing how it changed her life and got her through like something like that. I was just like, this is it. And then, yeah, that was in 2018. She actually passed away in 2019. Sorry, so like, I think it was a few months before we ran like Philly, which even made Philly even more inspiring. Cause she was like, you know, someone like got to think about the whole time that we were doing that.
That's amazing. And it's, you know, similar to my story with my mother. And I feel like, you know, if you have someone that, you know, you just want to honor their legacy, I think that's an amazing way to run a race there.
What's something, you see what they're going through and like what they're putting their body through and still keeping a smile on their face. So you gotta.
Definitely.
Gotta admire it.
That's beautiful. And I think, you know, really just telling to her strength and then also to your strength. And, you know, I'm curious, what's something you learned about yourself after running marathons, you know, that you didn't really know beforehand?
That I could do it. Honestly, that my body was capable of that. Like, I feel like I just learned like so much about what I could do. And I was never an athletic person. Like my friends always laugh about it. I was never one to play any sports in school. Like I could barely walk without getting out of breath. So I don't know what changed, but yeah, I guess it's a mind over matter type thing. But yeah, to be able to go to, I remember the first time I ran like 20 miles, like my first long run before the marathon, and being like, What?
That's, I mean, when you get in double digits in the 20s, that's always a fun sign, right? That you're close to marathon day and you can do it.
Like six more to go. We're not done yet.
Definitely. So what was some of your training? Where were you running? What were some of your favorite routes? And, you know, do you have any recommendations maybe for first time marathoners?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm definitely biased because I live in Hoboken. One of my favorite routes is obviously the Hoboken waterfront, running there in the mornings with the sunrise and then again at night with like the sunset and just seeing like, you know, the Hudson River and New York in the distance. I don't think anything compares to that. I'm sure, you know, you've run the New York side of it and people in New York don't always like to look at New Jersey, but it is really pretty.
Yeah, I think that's debatable.
What?
I said that's debatable, but you know, we could have a whole nother podcast episode about that.
Yeah, New York versus New Jersey. No, that's definitely one of my favorite routes. And then also too, I always like, you know, going down to the shore, like waking up early in the morning and running there. My boyfriend's family has a house in LBI. So like waking up before it gets too hot and running with the beach right next to you too, like things like that kind of, you can't compare. But I think the number one thing for me with the running routes, I have to switch it up. If I do the same thing, like Hoboken's known to be a mile square town. If I do the same route, like every single day or every other, you start to learn the mileage and get in your head. And I think just variety and range is definitely key. So you don't get to that point. You keep it fresh and exciting.
That's a great tip. I think for folks out there, you know, mix it up, keep things interesting out there. You want to see different sites along the way and just, you know, make sure you're always sort of challenging yourself with new routes, maybe a hill here or there. Love that, Paige. That's a great recommendation for folks. I'm curious, how do you decide what to wear on race day? And do you have any sort of favorite running gear?
I'll do another plug for Brooks. I was definitely all Brooks everything. I was kind of crazy. I tested out my like marathon outfits during some of my runs before. Like I always had, you know, I had a preference on the leggings I liked and what we were running. Philly was in November. So I knew, you know, weather could be iffy. And it was. I'm pretty sure we ran through all sorts of weather. Sun, rain, snow, sleet. Like, couldn't have predicted any of that. I would just say, like, try out different things. See what, like, feels comfortable. But also be prepared kind of for anything. I definitely was not prepared for what we ran into. You know, I was wet and cold. I will say one tip I got in preparing what to wear from someone that I will never forget was to bring extra socks. So the socks you wear when you show up the morning of your marathon and it's that waiting period, have a different, like that's your pair for that moment. When it's time for it to go, have a backup pair to put on and put those socks away. So you don't start with like cold feet, especially if you are standing around in the rain or something. That like really stuck with me, and thank God for that.
That's a great idea. I wish I had extra socks at Philadelphia. Luckily, I had them after the race in my bag, though. So I was definitely running with some wet feet at the beginning, and that was not fun at all. So great tips there. Any specific sneaker choices from Brooks or models that you prefer?
Yeah, so I ran in the Ghost model, which I really like. It's especially good for runners that need like a little bit more cushion. And I've had a foot injury in the past, so it gives me like the support that I need there. But I train in a different shoe. I train in their Hyperion Tempo, which is it's meant to help you like train and recover faster. It just has, again, like really good support, just kind of keeps you going and helps you just like get back on your feet soon after. Big fan of the cushioning in it, and it's pretty cool looking. It's like a sleek black model with like a bright blue midsole. So
that does sound cool. I run in the Ghost as well, so I definitely can relate there and love that shoe. Tell me a little bit about your playlist. What are you listening to while you run? Do you listen to music, podcasts? What's sort of your go-to playlist setup?
Okay, so this is, I loved what I did for Philly, and I want everyone to do this. So I just listened to music the entire time, Spotify, but my playlist was so eclectic and all over the place. What I did leading up to the marathon was I asked everyone kind of like in my circle, family, friends, coworkers, even bartenders, I asked everyone to give me one song. And it could be like a song, like it was their favorite, something they like to run to, or something that like maybe even just like reminded them of me and like the time we had together. And I put a song from everyone onto my playlist, and that was really, that's what I ran to. So, you know, when a song came on, like my mom picked That's My Girl by Fifth Harmony. Like when that comes on, I'm like in the middle of the race, I'm like, oh, my mom's here with me. And that happened like multiple times. Like my uncle, like, what was his? His was a Rain Is a Good Thing. And, you know, it was raining when we first started. And that was the first song that I ran out to when like we were just getting going. I was like, the music people picked was just so on point. It just kind of felt like they were like on that journey with me.
I love that idea. So crowdsourcing a playlist, let's see if anyone else is doing that. You know, I think most people are curating their own. I curate my own, you know, based on what I like, but I think that's genius. You know, you get to really feel the love and support from your family in a totally different way. And I love that. That's amazing.
I will say, knowing that I was running Philly, I did get a lot of Rocky songs, but
that's a requirement. My second to last song there was Gonna Fly Now. One of my favorites. It's on the intro episode. I mean, you're in Philadelphia, you're passing by the Rocky statue. Is there any better motivating music than a Rocky training montage?
No, it's definitely not.
Definitely. So remind me, you said you had a few friends at the end of the race there that had some signs. Signs are one of my favorite parts of marathon running. Did they have some good signs? Were there any signs on the course that you really loved? What's your take on signs?
Well, I will say I was in my head about probably TMI, but in my head about having to go to the bathroom running. So I saw a couple of signs the day before, which I think was the half marathon, about like the percentage of people that like go to the bathroom. So I think it was Jazzy, one of my best friends, held up a sign that said, don't be like the 1% that goes to the bathroom.
I was in that 1%, by the way.
It happens. But then the other signs, most were about like, hurry up so we can drink. Like, you're lucky, we love you. I actually felt like worse for like my friends than like I did for us runners. Like, they were standing around. We at least were moving in the bad weather. So I did apologize to them, but I owe them all.
That's a fair point. And I love the beer signs too. Those are always some of my favorite there. Was there a specific part of the Philly Marathon that you really loved? Any sort of sights or scenes around the crowd, you know, the crowd or sort of just the city in general?
I think it was when we got, I'm pretty sure it was the halfway point by like what's like the Please Touch Museum. I only know that from going there on my babysitting days because it's a fun museum. You can touch everything in the museum. But I think that was the halfway point, and it was a little more spread out in that area. And there was just a bunch of people that like had like JMO and like Fireball, and were like just like passing alcohol like to the runners. I did take a shot of something, and I'm like, now I'm like, things will never do after COVID.
Yeah, I mean, I remember that, and I was just thinking I wouldn't do this pre-COVID because it's a marathon, and I don't want to, you know, puke in a few minutes.
I did it.
That's impressive.
Like a small like one, but I was just like, I just love like that. I think any part of the course with the, like the crowds just like keep you going and energize you, and like that sense of like community and like camaraderie. I also one of my other favorite ones is the end of the marathon. I'm getting emotional because I'm getting towards the end, and I'm like kind of, you know, you kind of spread out from the other runners. I was a little by myself, and because my name was on my bib, one woman just goes, "You got this, Paige." I started crying, like as if I was like, I needed that so bad. Like, I had no idea who she was, but like she'll never know how much she means to me and how much she got me to like cross that line.
We'll have to see if maybe she's listening to the podcast one day. She'll find you.
Yeah, like whatever, whoever you were.
And that's a great fun tip. I referenced it in my first episode. But if you're a marathon runner, write your name on your shirt because people will cheer you on. And I got lucky. You need it. You need that extra energy for sure. That's a great point there. I am curious, do you have any other marathon races coming up?
Yeah, so I had the whole plan to do, I wanted to do 3 marathons in 2020, 3 marathons for the 30th year, but obviously there were some other plans.
That's a tough goal, by the way. That's impressive.
You know, I'm just like, I felt like I was in shape from Philly. I was like, I got this. I'll just keep going. And I was like, just riding that high. The first one I was signed up for was the New Jersey Marathon, which was supposed to be in April of 2020. They postponed it now until October of this year. So I'm hoping it happens. We'll see. But I'm really pumped about that one because, you know, I'm from Jersey, grew up around the Jersey Shore. So to kind of be able to run past the place I went when I was a kid, past like DJs where you go when you're of drinking age. Be like my life will come full circle.
I love that. That's awesome. And yeah, I think the New Jersey Marathon, I've never done it, but it's on my list. You know, I go to Jersey a lot to see friends and family. So might need to add that one there as well. I am curious now with the pandemic, how have you sort of adjusted and how has that impacted your running schedule, you know, maybe without marathons to look forward to or just in general being, you know, in an apartment quite a lot?
Yeah, I mean, I'll definitely say like at the beginning of the, like once, you know, it was that weird awkward time this time last year where, you know, I was training for a marathon in April and they hadn't called it yet. And, you know, you're waiting to see, you're getting towards your longer runs and you're waiting to see like, should I be doing this? Is this going to happen? Like, do I want to push my body and run the long miles if like, there's not going to be a marathon, like, you know, risk getting hurt. So I definitely, once they made the call and canceled it, like I did definitely got a little discouraged. I found myself like getting in a little slump where I didn't want to run as much or at least not as many miles. You know, like, I was like, what's the point? I'm not training for anything. I got over that like pretty quick, thankfully. Cause you know, especially at a time when you're, this becomes your, like you're just trapped in your apartment. And I did lose my job at the beginning of the pandemic and it like running just, I remember that it was, you know, it's not always about like training for the next thing. It kind of like reminded me like, you know, why I ran in the first place, to like, for my mental health, to give myself like, you know, to believe in myself and push myself towards something like greater. So once I like got that mindset like back, I started to pick up my mileage. I still am doing more shorter miles than I definitely have in the past. I ran a half marathon for myself to celebrate the 1 year of Philly. Just, you know, a little like, look what we did last year.
I love that. That's a great idea.
Yeah, it was on a Tuesday before work. I don't recommend that because I was so tired. Could not focus. Yeah.
Save those runs for the weekends.
Yeah. But yeah, like once I got out of the slump, I definitely like got back into, you know, remembered why I ran in the first place. And it definitely provided me with some sanity during this. I sometimes will be like, I am going on an anxiety run and just like run out the door, put my music on and I come back and I'm like a new person.
I love that. Yeah. I mean, running is amazing for your mental health. It really does change the way you think about yourself and the world around you. And I'm in the same pandemic slump, by the way. I think a lot of people are, without a marathon to look forward to. I think my longest run lately has been like 6 or 10 miles, but yeah, it's tough to sort of push yourself without that race in mind, but you inspired me and I'll get back out there. I am curious, you know, you said you worked for Brooks at one point. What kind of runners do you admire out there? Just, you know, it seems like you know the industry pretty well. Anyone specific that comes to mind, or even just, you know, other runners you see on the course?
Yeah, I mean, cheesy answer, but like, honestly, like every person that's a runner that's able to get out there and do it, whether you're doing like the couch to 5K or running a couple miles around your city. But no, I have been so lucky to meet some amazing runners through Brooks. One person in particular, which I'm going to like petition to get him on this podcast. He'll do it. He's the best. Shadrack Biwott. He finished third for men's in Boston 2018.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah. I met him 2 years back at an event, and nicest person you ever met in your life. And despite having, you know, placing third in Boston, like on his resume and among like other very impressive titles, he was like the most humble person I've ever met. He knew I was training for Philly and was like, he gave me a training schedule. He made one for me. He gave me his like personal contact info to reach out at like any time that I had questions. Like I would literally be texting him being like, my shin splints are bad. What do I do? He was probably like, I did not sign up for this, but he always answered and was always so helpful. And then, you know, he like remembered to text me the night before and the morning of like the marathon. I'm sure he has so many other people he knows and other things going on in his life, but like he took that small time out of his day to just make me feel like really supported. And I will like never forget that.
That's amazing to hear that story. I think, you know, the running community is something that I've really learned to love. And that's just the perfect example of it. People going out of their way to support each other for this common goal and really just push each other to be better, both, you know, on the course and off the course. And, you know, Paige, that'll bring us to our last closing closing question here. I'm just curious. The podcast is called Why We Marathon. And, you know, in sort of 2 to 3 sentences, can you just sum up why you marathon?
Yeah, I mean, short and sweet. Like I marathon for myself, you know, for the fun of it, for, like I said, like my mental health, to remind myself like what I can do, like especially this year, like with so much uncertainty, like running's always been that constant for me. And I know it's the same for so many people. So I run for me. And, you know, I think the day that changes is the day maybe this isn't like for me anymore, but
I love that. And, you know, you need to put yourself first before you could help others as well. And in general, you know, marathon running really just proves, you know, you got to just dig deep and summon that will to finish. So thank you so much for joining us today, Paige. This was an amazing interview. Thank you to all of our listeners out there. I'm really excited. You know, we've seen huge growth on the podcast so far. Please follow us on Instagram at Why We Marathon, and you can visit our website, www.whywemarathon.com, to see additional stories, photos, and recaps of each episode. And if you could, please rate and review our podcast and share episodes with your friends and family. Thank you again, and I hope you enjoy listening to these amazing stories of human perseverance. I'm your host, Alex Ellman. Have a good rest of the day.